You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, March 12, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you so much for joining us for the next 2 hours of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, videos, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. If you're interested in legalizing marijuana, if you're interested in just promoting freedom in this country, this is the show for you. Thanks for joining us. We're here live every weekday at 3 p.m. We're also replayed on the 420 Radio Network. You can check that out at 420radio.org/schedule for the replay times in your time zone. Also available through our new video service at vimeo.com/420radio. You can catch all of the clips and full episodes of the Russ Belville Show, available for sharing and downloading. Do what you will with them. Spread the word far and wide. On tonight's show, we've got all sorts of great stuff to bring to you, including reactions to the Oregon Liquor Control Commission's requests at the Measure 91 Joint Implementation Committee. Yes, it's a joint implementation committee. The legislature, the House and the Senate, the committee is seeking input on how Measure 91 should be implemented in Oregon. If there are any parts of the law that need to be amended or adjusted, this is the time they're hearing that testimony. And Rob Patridge is the chairman of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, tasked with regulating marijuana in Oregon. He made a whole bunch of requests to the legislature yesterday. I was there, as well as our own Herb Thrasher and Wiz Kalika. We were hanging out. We also got to meet up with Lori Duckworth, who came up from Southern Oregon, and the irrepressible Elvie Musica, one of the two remaining federal medical marijuana patients, was there listening to the testimony. We've got their reactions to the testimony coming up in our Government at Work segment at the end of the show. Also on the show today, cops say legalize drugs. Today is Thursday, and every other Thursday we visit from a speaker with law enforcement against prohibition. Today we're visiting with Leroy Washington. He is a former federal probation officer, and we'll talk to him about that experience and what he saw at the federal level when it comes to the war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. We've also got time for a drug war data mining segment today. The new Healthy Youth Survey has come out in Washington State for 2014. They take this survey every 2 years, and while the headlines are proclaiming that, oh my goodness, kids are smoking pot and find it easy to get, I'm going to show you data from the previous surveys that show you that nothing has really changed much in Washington State when it comes to the children. Legalization has not changed their world much at all. Also coming up on the show today, we will go behind the headlines in California, where there's some cannabis chaos breaking out in lieu of 2016's push for legalization. We're going to take you behind the scenes on the four different groups fighting to legalize marijuana in the Golden State. Also, some good news out of the California legislature with respect to stoned driving legislation. So stay tuned for that. And that all comes right after the 420 radio news. And in the headlines today, Washington, D.C. is looking for ways to implement cannabis commercialization in the district. The New Hampshire House has voted overwhelmingly for decriminalization. Tennessee has forwarded a bill for CBD oil and has three other bills regarding marijuana in their legislature. Lawmakers in Boston have filed legislation to legalize marijuana. We'll tell you about all the details. And advocates in Michigan are promising to put forth legalization in 2016. Legalization's breaking out all over, and we're here to cover it for you every day on the Russ Belville Show. We're right back after these commercial messages.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Hey, this is Big Daddy, and I want you to know it's never too late to join me at the Funky Roller Rink every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, March 12, 2015. The D.C. City Council is continuing to snub Congress by exploring ways to use emergency reserve funds to implement a regulatory framework for marijuana. According to council members, the city may be able to tap in emergency reserve funds to get around the prohibition set in place by Congress, which states that the city cannot spend fiscal year 2015 funds, quote, to enact any law, rule, or regulation to legalize or otherwise reduce penalties associated with marijuana's possession, use, or distribution, end quote. The requirement, then, surrounds whether council members can convincingly argue that marijuana legalization, without any accompanying regulation or taxation, constitutes a threat to public safety or health. Since no dispensaries are currently permitted, there's no way for users to legally purchase the drug. This means that users find themselves looking into the black market for untested, unregulated cannabis, which is often controlled by dangerous cartels. Whether the city will be able to get away with using contingency funds remains to be seen. The New Hampshire House voted overwhelmingly Wednesday in favor of a bill that makes carrying a half ounce or less of cannabis a violation-level offense, like a speeding ticket. The House has voted 6 times in its history to decriminalize small amounts of marijuana, but never by such a landslide margin. The measure received just under 300 votes. Supporters said it's a reflection of major change on what used to be a controversial issue. Last year, the House passed a similar bill making possession of an ounce or less a violation-level offense. This year's version is more conservative, taking the threshold down to a half ounce and makes cultivating 6 or fewer marijuana plants a misdemeanor. The more cautious approach was credited with cutting even further into hardline opposition. Possession of marijuana currently is a misdemeanor, punishable by up to a year in prison and a fine of $2,000. New Hampshire is the only New England state yet to decriminalize marijuana. A Tennessee bill to legalize cannabis oil for medical purposes passed through the House Criminal Justice Subcommittee Wednesday, but not without needing an amendment requiring a doctor's letter for patients requesting the treatment. There are three other bills extant in the state legislature with varying prospects of success. One seeks to remove marijuana from the list of ingestible or inhalable substances for which an object can be designated as drug paraphernalia. Another, a decriminalization bill, has been placed on the Criminal Justice Subcommittee calendar for March 17th. Lastly, on the other end of the spectrum, a bill seeks to penalize handheld vaporizers and vape pens as drug paraphernalia and include marijuana concentrates and oils under the definition of marijuana. Recent polling by Middle Tennessee State and Vanderbilt universities indicate 3 of 4 Tennesseans support legalization in some form. Lawmakers in Boston introduced the Cannabis Regulation and Taxation Act of 2016, which would also legalize industrial hemp and cannabis cafes, fixing a thorny issue in past legalization states. People caught giving pot to minors could face up to $2,000 in fines and a year in prison. Underage citizens caught with pot would face up to a $100 civil fine. Personal use or cultivation amounts aren't specified, but you couldn't transport more than 10 ounces of bud or 10 pounds of products. Cities could ban stores, but the people could call a referendum on that ban with a 10% of voters' signatures. Processors would pay $10 per ounce sales tax the first year, then $20 per ounce the second year, then $35 the third year, and stabilizing at $50 an ounce the fourth year. The act would also let folks expunge their records of marijuana violations. Michigan marijuana advocates have confirmed plans to launch a petition drive later this year and hope to put a legalization proposal on the statewide ballot in 2016. The Michigan Comprehensive Cannabis Law Reform Initiative Committee is one of two marijuana-related groups eyeing the 2016 ballot. Board members officially announced the effort on Thursday, indicating they want to strengthen the state's medical marijuana program, create a regulated system for taxable sales to adults over 21, and facilitate industrial hemp farming. Proposed language would allow citizens to grow up to 12 marijuana plants each and dedicate tax revenues toward public interest projects such as road repairs and schools. Michigan election law gives ballot committees a 180-day window to collect the required number of signatures necessary to place the proposal on the ballot. Roughly 250,000 signatures are required for initiated legislation. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, March 12, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. Get your tickets now for the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, March 15th and 16th at the Hilton in Eugene, Oregon, powered by MarijuanaPolitics.com. Former presidential candidate and two-term New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson will deliver the keynote address. Harborside Health Center's Steve D'Angelo will present at the pre-conference VIP reception. You'll also hear from State Senator Floyd Prezansky, New Approach Oregon's Anthony Johnson, Oregon marijuana attorneys Paul Loney and Leland Berger, and Oregon Liquor Control Commission's Director of Marijuana Programs, Tom Burns. Get your tickets at early bird pricing by acting now. Learn more at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference at ommbc.com. This conference will provide you with a head start for success in the expanding Oregon marijuana industry. Get your tickets today at ommbc.com.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance.
With over 1 billion people in the world, chances are there's somebody out there just like you. There are software engineers, pastry chefs, artists, and people with medical conditions. And what do many of these people have in common? They use marijuana. It's expected that marijuana will be legalized in California. And when that happens, what will be the biggest concern? Safety. That's where we come in. Hi-Def Transit is a discreet shuttle service that also serves as a mobile vapor room. Members can medicate on board while our certified drivers get you to your destination safely so you can enjoy the ride. So hop in, make friends, and ride safe. Hi-Def Transit.
Welcome back, everyone. 15 after the hour. And the big jewel in legalization for 2016, of course, is the great state of California. And many people are surprised that California is the last of the West Coast states to possibly legalize marijuana. Most folks thought they might be the first. And indeed, they tried to be the first in 2010 with Proposition 19 that lost with 46% of the vote. I believe Proposition 19, though, was successful in that it opened up the serious conversation about legalization that then took place in 2012 and 2014. For 2016, there are now four groups that are competing to place something on the ballot for 2016. Let's run down them. The first group is the Marijuana Control Legalization and Revenue Act of 2016. They were the MCLR of 2014 and failed to get on the ballot in 2014. They announced that they would put a measure up in 2016, and they're asking for public input. They claim to be the most inclusive of the measures by using an open Google document to solicit ideas from the community. So you can find them at Marijuana Control Legalization Revenue Act.com. That's right, Marijuana Control Legalization Revenue Act.com, one of the longest URLs I've ever read. We've also got the CCHI group, the California Cannabis Hemp Initiative. They failed to make the ballot in 2014 and in 2012 and in 2010. They are always claiming they're going to move forward with putting what they call true legalization on the ballot. They are legalizing 12 pounds of pot for personal use and have been producing a number of videos on Hash Bar TV. One of those videos, I saw it, and Kevin Sabet couldn't make a better anti-legalization video if he tried. So there you go with the CCHI people. Another initiative, this one's the first time I've heard of this one, is the California Artisan Cannabis Initiative of 2016. This has been put forth by our good friend and longtime supporter, Northern California attorney Omar Figueroa. This group called CACI, C-A-C-I, is hoping to protect the small farmers, especially those folks up in Northern California, from post-legalization competition by bigger businesses. This would kind of be the anti-Walmartization of marijuana initiative, C-A-C-I. And then there's Reform California, Reform CA, also called the Coalition for Cannabis Policy Reform. Before I forget, the CCHI initiative, you can find out more about them at cchi2016.org. And the CACI initiative, you can find more at californiacannabis2016.com. And then the group Reform California, the Coalition for Cannabis Policy Reform, you can find them at cannabispolicyreform.org. This is the coalition that put together 2010's Prop 19, a lot of the same people involved with that, like Dale Skye Jones, for instance. And this group includes California Normal, the NAACP, and Oaksterdam University, as well as working with the national legalization groups, the Marijuana Policy Project, and the Drug Policy Alliance. Observers in California would call this the most credible group for reform, in that they've got some of the big national groups behind them and could possibly raise the kind of money that's going to be necessary to actually get something on the ballot and legalize in California. None of the groups have filed anything with the California Secretary of State. They should be submitting their ballot language by July 7th or earlier. And there was record low turnout in 2014, which means the number of signatures needed to get on the ballot in 2016 are the lowest they've ever been. So this would be the time to start gathering signatures. The estimates are that it will take $20 million for staffing and advertising to legalize cannabis in California. And that's assuming no significant opposition. And I can imagine for 2016, there will be significant opposition. There is some good news coming out of the California Assembly, by the way. It appears that while there are 20 or more bills in the Assembly to regulate cannabis in one way or another, there is no bill this year to propose any sort of change to California marijuana DUI standards. Year after year, the California Assembly has put forth bills to implement per se DUID standards that are called for by the police, by the law enforcement agencies. And this year, it does not appear to be the case. California Normal has come out strongly against these per se laws, as they would be sober DUIs, in their words. Well, school is in session. I still have the school bell one, Big Daddy Fink. I didn't know where that one came from. It's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone. Denver's getting its 4:20 on. We ought to do that too. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we've got drug war data mining from the Washington Healthy Youth Survey showing legalization hasn't really changed much for the kids. 4:20 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Big Daddy Finks.
Funky rollerink.
What's happening? Big Daddy here, and I want you cool cats to come and chill over at my pad, the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh yeah.
We'll be grooving every Thursday night, right here on 4:20 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
What can I do when you got me going?
Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420RADIO to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby! Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and the latest Washington State Healthy Youth Survey is out. They take the survey every couple of years, so the 2014 data are the first data to be reported since Washington State legalized marijuana. And we go to Como News, K-O-M-O, one of the news stations up there in Seattle, that reports that Washington high school students who participated in a statewide survey say marijuana is easy to get, and they do not perceive any risk from smoking pot once or twice. While the high school smoking of tobacco continues to go down, marijuana use has remained stable. So, wait a minute. We legalized marijuana and no more kids used it now than used it before. Interesting. As they continue to talk about the results of the survey, they also bring up that students reported less use of alcohol and other drugs than they did in previous surveys, and fewer sophomores reported driving in cars with drinking drivers and so forth. So they're looking backward when it comes to the alcohol and drug results and saying how much those have gone down. Interesting that that has happened after marijuana legalization has taken place. But they've refused to place any historical context on the marijuana use, leaving it open and implying that the use of marijuana by these kids, some 27% that say they've used it, 12th graders, 18% of 10th graders, using at least monthly, trying to couple that with marijuana legalization. By not providing any historical background on this, this could lead the reader to think that legalization has caused some significant change for these kids. But the data show it's just not true. You can see on our screen there, I've given you the results of the data for grades 12, 10, 8, and 6. And we can find that the 2014 use of marijuana, now use being defined as monthly use of marijuana, was 27% for the 12th graders in 2014. It was 27% for the 12th graders in 2012. It was 26% for the 12th graders in 2010. And it was 23% in 2008. So among the high school seniors, the use of marijuana has gone up somewhat since 2008. But if you look at the rest of the grade levels, 10, 8, and 6, amongst the 10th graders, it's gone from 18, 19, 20, and 19. And then amongst the 8th graders, it's declined from about 9% to about 7%. And the 6th graders have stayed around 1%. So no major change in what marijuana legalization has done. A few of the older kids, more of the older kids are using it. But among the younger kids, it stayed just about the same. And we can look at this data as well on our screen here. This is the Healthy Youth Survey data for 2014. And as you look at this, you can see that the current use, 27%, 18, 7, and 1. And another feature that they wanted to talk about was kids' perception of how easy it is to get marijuana. Two-thirds of high school seniors say it's easy or very easy to get marijuana. 53% of the 10th graders, so about half. And then we have 21% of the 8th graders and 7% of the 6th graders. How does that compare with the previous survey in 2012? About the same. 66%, it hasn't changed at all among the seniors. It's gone up 2% among the 10th graders. It's gone up, it's gone down 5% amongst the 8th graders, and it stayed the same amongst the 6th graders. And as far as reporting on the perception of harm, we can scroll down a little bit on this one. And this is a chart showing the 12th, 10th, and 8th graders and their perception of harm. No risk from regular use once or twice a week. No risk. 45% of the high school seniors believe that. From using once or twice, they say 72% of the 12th graders find no risk in that. How does that compare with 2 years ago? Much different. It was 37% for regular use back in 2012 and 68% for regular or for once or twice back in 2012. So the perception of risk by these kids has greatly decreased. Far fewer kids now think that the regular use of marijuana or even the occasional use of marijuana is something to fear, is something risky. And we are told constantly by the anti-drug folks that perception of risk is tied with use. If kids perceive marijuana as less risky to use, they're more likely to use it. But as we've shown you, the kids aren't using that much more marijuana. So the perception of risk variables, the ease of access, the perception of risk has decreased. The ease of access has stayed the same. And yet, not that many more kids are using marijuana. We're seeing about the same results as we saw from 2012 before marijuana was legal to 2014 after marijuana was legal. Finally, one stat that I didn't include on the screen, heavy marijuana use. 10% among high school seniors, I've used marijuana on 10 or more days in the past month. 10% for 2014. Going back to 2012, it was 9%. So a slight increase in heavy marijuana use among the high school seniors. But I would point out that a high school senior can oftentimes be an 18-year-old person. And as far as I'm concerned personally, if you're old enough to carry a rifle in the sand, you're old enough to carry a joint in your hand.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and today in Cops Say Legalized Drugs, we go all the way out to the island state of Hawaii and say aloha to Leroy Washington. Leroy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and aloha.
Is it Leroy or Leroy?
I've had several ways, but I'm fine with either one.
Okay, let's go with Leroy then.
According
to your bio here, you spent 34 years as a probation officer and 25 years of that as a federal officer in Seattle, and a long, long career in law enforcement having to deal with the federal side of the drug war. And I'm just curious, as we start to look at the movement in the federal government, some of the senators, people like Cory Booker, are standing up against mass incarceration. I gotta imagine this is none too soon from your perspective. Tell us what it was like in the federal system and why you feel that drugs need to be legalized.
Well, to begin with, the history of the war on drugs really, I think, in its ideal sense, look towards interdiction. Addressing drug importation almost at the corporate level, in reality, it really ended up, and over the years has been, at the street level. And as you know from the statistics, the majority of individuals incarcerated are mostly low-level drug users or distributors. And as happened with the prohibition against alcohol, really this is a public health issue that needs to be regulated.
You know, at the federal level, when we discuss this issue, people that defend the current policies will say that, well, they're not really going after the small-time users when it comes to the federal level. They're really going after the kingpins. How much truth is there to that?
Again, in an ideological sense, that was the intent, I believe, from the original war. But the reality is that the majority of the folks that I dealt with directly, and statistics would show, are really low-level distributors and users.
And as far as that part goes, a lot of that is owed to the mandatory minimum sentencing. It must have been frustrating for you having to deal with federal probationers who could get out on all sorts of other charges, fraud, embezzlement, kidnapping, extortion, whatever it might be, but still remain locked up for something like marijuana trafficking. Did you see that often?
I saw a fair amount of that, yes. More of the mandatory minimums regarding the distribution of either crack cocaine or cocaine, higher-level Schedule I drugs, but the repeated use of marijuana can build up against you, for example, in California with the three strike laws and so forth. So not as much on the marijuana level as I did at the felony level with harder drugs.
And when it comes to law enforcement, just in general, how has this war on drugs affected the relationship between the law enforcement and the communities out there who are affected by this?
Well, again, I kind of look back at the statistics as to who is most directly impacted. You will find that our poor and minority communities are more likely to be arrested and or and convicted and incarcerated than you find in some of our more affluent communities.
Yeah, and that's something that was pointed out wonderfully by Michelle Alexander in her book, The New Jim Crow.
Absolutely.
And it seems to me that a lot of people are coming around on this issue of mass incarceration and the drug war due to the vast disproportionate nature of its enforcement on African-American and Latino communities. I know Washington, D.C., that was a major part of their legalization push. Do you think that this has gained traction thanks to having, for at least a while, an African-American attorney general and an African-American president? Could this have gone as fast with white people in office, you think?
Well, I think these persons in office have highlighted it perhaps more than it has in the past. The statistics have been there. The U.S. Sentencing Commission and a number of private and public studies have shown these trends for years. I think, however, that this is more coming to light because of the presence of African Americans in the presidency and at the Attorney General's level.
Yeah, it really seems like it's a lot of disparate factors are coalescing here between Obama and Holder being elected, Michelle Alexander's book, the legalization movements that are happening in the Western states. What do you see as the next step at the federal level? I know that the senators Booker, Gillibrand, and Paul have introduced a medical marijuana bill at the federal level, but how long do you think we're out from doing something about marijuana, you know, recreationally at the federal level?
That's the question I don't think I have really a definite answer for. Mm-hmm. But that is the crux of the issue. The issue with regard to federal law as opposed to state law has to be resolved at some level in order for us to move forward effectively. And how long that process is going to take, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know that the interest is building, and I hope it continues to do so. But to give you a definite answer, I couldn't predict that.
Sure. Hard to predict anything in Washington, D.C. We're speaking with Leroy Washington. He's a speaker for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, a federal probation officer retired out of Kamuela, Hawaii. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, Big Island, the island of Hawaii. Okay. The town is actually Waimea, but for postal services, it's Kamuela, because there are three Waimeas in the Hawaiian chain.
Oh, okay. So that could be a little bit confusing. If you are interested in getting a speaker like Leroy to speak at your local events, LEAP has hundreds of these speakers all around the world. Check out leap.cc or copsaylegalizeddrugs.com, and you can find out more about that. Let me ask you something on more of a meta level with respect to the criminal justice system. You write in your bio here about how the criminal justice system has lurched from one crisis to another and ignores the studies, the social science studies that tell us how we could better serve our communities. What sort of reforms would you like to see? I mean, aside obviously from, you know, reforming the drug war, that could aid in not being a reactive but being a proactive criminal justice system?
Well, I don't know how much time we have to discuss this, so I'll try to keep this very brief. The drug war in incarcerating individuals, I think, has almost taken the attitude that we can incarcerate these individuals, lock them up, and they'll never return to the community. Even with mandatory minimum sentences, an individual arrested at 18 to 24 with a 5-year mandatory, 10, 15, and so forth, unless he is killed in jail, is going to come back to the community. So often, when these individuals are incarcerated, the rehabilitation aspect is ignored or forgotten about. Years ago, before the war on drugs, if you look at the history of corrections and so forth, the emphasis was much more toward the rehabilitation of individuals. That seems to have been lost, in my experience, in this current era with the war on drugs. So many of these young people are incarcerated, and depending on the length of their sentence, many of the programs within the federal institutions, they're not eligible until they, what they call, so many months or years short. So there is a dead time period, again, depending upon the length of their sentence, when they're not receiving little or no treatment. And one of the things that we have to change in our approach, I believe, is that when an arrest, indictment, and so forth goes on with an individual and those people come before the court, rehabilitation has to be a factor from the very beginning, throughout its whole, their whole contract and association with the criminal justice system. If we don't do that, we're basically giving individuals PhDs in criminality in the institution and they're coming back to the street. And, of course, then there's the reaction of mass releases and so forth that have been proposed and has been happening with the changes in the laws under the sentencing guidelines. So we have to go back and review some of our history and look at the fact of providing a plan and program toward rehabilitation for these individuals being released eventually back into the community. And they're coming back to the community that they come from in large measure.
And there are other reforms that have been proposed. I know here in Portland, there was just recently a hearing at the City Hall on a subject called Ban the Box, which is to get rid of the little checkbox on application forms that whether or not you've been convicted of a crime. Are there other aspects outside of the system that we could use to things like that, that we could use to further these goals?
Well, that's a really good example. We have taken so many rights away for especially felons that are found guilty in our courts and incarcerated. The ability to receive welfare benefits, the right to vote, the acknowledgement of a crime in the past, all work against an individual rehabilitating himself and readjusting coming back to the community. So I think it's a holistic approach that we need to take in assisting individuals that have paid their debt to society, served their time, and giving them the ability and the means with which to integrate back into society as productive citizens.
Very well put. Thank you so much. Leroy Washington, a federal probation officer, now retired and living in beautiful Hawaii with all the sun in the world, I suppose, these days, huh?
Well, we get the whole weather gamut over here. It's overcast and cloudy today where I am.
Oh, well. All right. Well, we hope to get good weather coming up for you soon. Enjoy yourself. And Leroy, thank you so much for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. We look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thank you very much.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. When we come back, we're going to take a look at our government at work. We've got footage from the state capital of Oregon, Salem, Oregon, where myself, Herb Thrasher, and Wiz Calico made our way down to listen to suggestions about how we ought to modify our marijuana legalization law. Suggestions that were brought forth by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. That's right, Liquor Control Commission's in charge of our marijuana here. That's how crazy legalization's getting. Stay tuned. We're back right after the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee-educated.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer.
Herb Age Designs.
Lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly.
Herb Age Designs.
We've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear.
Herb Age Designs.
We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at
herbagedesigns.com.
And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
In the U.S., marijuana is the most commonly identified illegal drug in fatal crashes. Marijuana, it impairs driving.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Reforming America's marijuana prohibition laws takes education, lobbying, and voting. From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
Yesterday, myself, Calico Castile, and Scott Gordon from Portland Normal made our way down to Salem, Oregon for our state capitol and a hearing of the Joint Committee on the Implementation of Measure 91. They took testimony from Rob Patridge. Here's the video.
Hi, everyone. Russ Belville here with Portland Normal. We are on the steps of the state capitol in Salem, Oregon, to deliver a message to the senators and representatives regarding the implementation of Measure 91. Basically, we just want to see Measure 91 implemented as the people voted for it. And we're kind of shocked that they're even considering measures that would undermine or completely repeal some of the key aspects of a voter-approved initiative. This isn't just bad for marijuana reformers. This is bad for democracy in general. What good is an initiative process if a few lobbyists and legislators can undermine the key provisions of it? So we're here to go inside to Salem, talk to a few of our senators and representatives, and let them know how we feel and how you feel about reforming these laws. Come on, join us.
All right, we're here with Scott Gordon, a.k.a. Herb Thrasher, Deputy Director of Portland Normal, at the legislative hearing. What did you think? What's your impressions of this meeting?
Pretty positive so far. I think this was a good meeting for the most part. A lot of talk, with the rules and what's going on with this committee, within the legislators, and it was just real positive. I didn't hear a lot of negative. I expected a little bit more. It's nice to hear the word alcohol and hear that maybe they're siding on the alcohol industry for information for where we can take our new marijuana industry as
right.
Well.
Right on, man. Anything out there that particularly stood out? Anything funny?
Well, there were some good funny things. Sometimes everyone tries to be funny. It was kind of cute to see how we're going to be looking at the size of a plant, high school definition, and just kind of talk about pizza deliveries and, pot and cars and stuff, combining a pizza delivery man and as far as purchasing goes, which is fine. These are all good ways to look at certain ways how we can implement this system. And it's nice that they are looking at the general fact of maybe a pizza delivery service can incorporate into our marijuana industry as well.
Right on. Thanks for being out here, Scott, and standing up for Portland Normal.
Enjoying it.
Tell me when.
All right, we're here with Lori Duckworth from Southern Oregon, a longtime activist in the community, and you're here at the OLCC implementation, or the Measure 91 implementation hearing. OLCC was presenting their wishes. What did you think of it?
You know, it was quite a list. I really appreciated Senator Probansky, again, being a champion for us. And I appreciate being here today. Mr. Patridge had some pretty good recommendations, a few of them that will help the 91 to get going and I think to be successful. Some of them, you know, I can tell the crowd didn't support, and I think it'll be a work in progress. It seems very clear that they want to set everything up to be successful, but I think that they need to have a lot of input from the cannabis community, and next week it seems like they're going to open the floor up to do that. I attended the ACMM meeting this morning with LV, and you know, that was a pretty big letdown. It seems to me that the program needs a lot of supporters to be out there at all these meetings, so hey, everybody, get out there and get to these meetings like we are. We've attended three meetings today, two right here in the Capitol building and one up in Portland. So the only way to be the change is to get out there and get your feet on the ground, boots on the ground, and get it done.
That's right. ACMM, the Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana. That's one of the big concerns here is how will medical continue in the face of a well-regulated recreational program.
That's right.
What was disappointing there at that meeting?
You know, what was disappointing is it seems that the patients, for a program that's been around for 15 years, that my husband was one of the first 500 card holders, and everybody knows the saga of what happened to Lee and I, you know, 2 years ago with Southern Oregon Normal being raided and shut down. You know, we came out okay. We're 3 months from our probation ending. But I'm telling you, program is, looks like, you know, to me, quickly dissipating here in Oregon. And unless more of you patients and more of you growers get out to these meetings and speak about what needs to be done in this state, we're going to quickly lose our program. So if you don't get out there and walk this talk, you're going to lose it.
That's right. Use it or lose it.
That's right.
It's your democracy, folks.
That's right.
Lori Duckworth from Southern Oregon, thank you so much for being here and standing up.
That's right.
We're here with Calico Castile, the communications director for Portland Normal, fresh out of the Measure 91 implementation hearing. What are your thoughts on this meeting?
I just, you know, I'm blown away by how far we've come as a movement over the, you know, decades of work that we've been doing here. I mean, now that we're talking with legislators and they're getting into the definitions of what immature plants are, they're talking about, you know, just all of the inner workings of the marijuana industry. It's just so interesting to see them really start to take hold and take grasp of the issue and not be so afraid of it, not laugh it off, and really just start to tackle it as the next big industry, which we all know it's going to be. So I was definitely very excited about today's meeting.
Did you have any concerns about some of the issues OLCC brought up?
You know, I think for the most part they seem pretty sensible. I think that there's, you know, obviously going to be a lot of differences of opinion within our movement and within our organization, but I definitely think that, you know, we're getting to a place where we need to be finding practical and sensible solutions to marijuana policies, and we're not going to get it right on the first time around, but I definitely think we're heading in the right direction. So I was very happy to hear the recommendations. I think they're workable, and I definitely think there's a lot of things that we can move forward with.
Right on, Calico. Thanks for standing up for Portland Normal and all the cannabis consumers in Oregon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Let me start the recording. We're here with Elvie Musica. She's one of the two remaining federal medical marijuana patients and a patient in the state of Oregon. You're here at the Measure 91 implementation hearing. What are your thoughts about this? How did it go?
I am just elated because it was 40 years of waiting for these laws to change, and to think that I'm lucky enough to live in a state where you have all worked so hard and made these things happen, and I'm watching my dreams come true.
It's amazing.
The dreams I've been having for 40 years. I've been using marijuana medically for 40 years. The last 27 legally, as you said, supplied by the federal government and the state of Oregon. For 37 years, I improved this eye to the point that it was no longer even legally blind. I had 2160, and I've never had better than 2200 because I was born with congenital cataracts. We destroyed my better eye because we wanted a safer answer than marijuana for me.
Do you have any concerns about the implementation of recreational marijuana infringing on the medical program?
No, I hope it doesn't. I hope it enhances the knowledge of all of us. And I think, especially because there are no provisions for patients to really associate with other patients at the dispensaries. It's not a club where you can relax and enjoy your medicine, which is enjoyable. But the advantage of that is that patients share their experiences with each other, and you'll be surprised how much you learn from one another. You have all been my teachers.
Oh, thank you so much. LV Music, everybody.
So thank you so much. Keep up the...
We're here with Anthony Johnson. We've just finished up the Measure 91 Implementation Committee hearing, where OLCC head Rob Patridge was making his pitch to the legislature as to what changes and fixes they need in the law. Anthony, what was your impression of the hearing, and how do you think these legislators are responding?
I think the legislators are responding relatively well, and I think the hearing went relatively well. I think people that voted for Measure 91 wanted to see marijuana substantially treated the same as beer and wine, as breweries and wineries. And I think 85% of what the OLCC would like to see done really fits that. I think we're going to have a few differences, but I think for the most part, the OLCC has been pretty reasonable as far as the rules and regulations they want on the Measure 91 side.
Were there any recommendations that they made that made you think, oh, that's a great idea, we should have put that in Measure 91?
Well, I think we could have clarified the ability to have adult use social lounges. You know, I think that it will prevent people from being in public view. It'll also prevent kind of the Maureen Dowd story of people using marijuana-infused edibles because there's no place to smoke marijuana when they come to Oregon. So I would say that was one of the things that really struck my mind from going through a list, is that that's something that I think would be great for the state to clarify. And as Senator Prozanski stated, they wanted some clarification on the definition of immature plants. And I think, I think we got it right in Measure 91, the immature plant is a non-flowering plant. But I think the one thing that struck me and some members of the Measure 91 committee was that that would be a good definition for the medical side as well. So the 12-inch rule won't get people in trouble.
How about that consideration of what they ended up calling immaculate conception? That is, where do the legal growers, either personal or commercial, get their first seeds or seedlings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Colorado allowed a one-time exemption for the medical side to the 91 side. Washington went the immaculate conception way, kind of like don't ask, don't tell on where the first marijuana seed or plant went. I think it makes sense for the state of Oregon to just be transparent and to allow for a one-time sale from the medical side to get the system going, but I think whichever way we go, the system's going to work itself out.
All right, Anthony Johnson with New Approach Oregon, fighting to get Measure 91 implemented as written. Thanks so much for standing up for us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, folks, that's it. The implementation committee hearing is over. We just left the state capitol in Salem there. Rob Patridge from the OLCC made his presentation, and I've got to say that the senators and representatives involved in this committee were very engaged and asked some very well-informed questions. Like Kaliko says, it's amazing times that we're living in when state legislators are discussing how much authority a regulatory agency should have to be able to possess marijuana, and making jokes about delivering pizza and weed. And we've got the thanks for all of the hardworking activists in the state of Oregon over the past, well, four decades who've led to this position. Remember, get involved with Portland Normal, get involved with your local Normal chapter, and make sure your voice is heard. We delivered 90 letters today, one for each representative and senator, to let them know how our membership feels about this implementation, that we want to see Measure 91 implemented as written, and we want to see the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program protected. So get involved. You can join Portland Normal for free at portlandnormal.org. Or if you'd like to become an active voting member, it's $35 a year. You get a free membership pin and membership card to go with that. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you later. Thanks for supporting us.
So there you go, reactions to the hearing. The hearing video is online. If you'd like to see what their recommendations were, you can find the link at portlandnormal.org. It's the lead story right now. And I don't know why the Liebermater was throwing in Stompin' at the Savoy and Art Tatum at the end there. Sometimes Liebermater just likes to keep me on my toes, I think. That's all the time we got for Hour 1, but stay tuned. Hour 2 is next. We'll take your live calls at 971-533-7111. We've got some great stories to talk about, including a New York mother who claims that a pot brownie paralyzed her teenager. That's right, paralyzed. And another study out saying that teen pot smokers have more memory damage. I'd tell you who wrote it, but I forgot. That's all the time we got. See you next hour. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You're taking seed, you're planting, you're growing, you're trying, you're rolling, you're smoking. You're taking seed, you're planting, you're growing, you're trying, you're